Okay, well, if you have your Bibles this morning, if you will turn with me to the book of John, John chapter 6. As Carol read it, and from a beautiful Bible, which she didn't say anything about it, but she's brought her dad's Bible with her this morning to read, and that made it all that much more special to be able to hear it read from a version that was very meaningful to him. But John chapter 6, and continuing with this series of messages, which I've titled Table in the Wilderness, and this particular message, Food in the Desert. So if you remember the introduction last week, a table in the wilderness sets off an image of having provision where there isn't usually provision. So having a meal out in the middle of a field. And of course, we talked about last week, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and being able to see God preserving their life in the midst of torture and punishment, which was intended for them by King Nebuchadnezzar. And so picking up on that, food in the desert, you know, we have images and pictures, and if you're one who enjoys Hollywood movies, you know what it's like to see the man who is crossing the desert, running out of water, running out of food. And food in the wilderness or food in the desert is not something that you would normally see. But if you look at this in relation to the passage that we're reading, John chapter 6, and the passage that I had Carol read started at verse 26, but I want to jump down and just read 31 and 32. Our ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. Verse 32, Jesus said to them, very truly I tell you, it is not Moses who's given you the bread from heaven, but it's my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. Let's just go to the Lord in prayer before we continue. Father, we want to be able to understand a little bit better what you have to say to us in relation to this food in the desert. And Father, open our minds, help us to lay aside the cares and concerns of the week, wake us up and make us more alert than we would normally be, perhaps on a Sunday morning, to be able to hear what it is that you have to say. And then, Lord, help us to digest the truth of your word so that it would take on meaning that we could apply every day, not just for an hour on Sunday. Teach us, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. It's interesting when I say that. I have a friend, a Facebook friend, who on the birthday of his children always changes his Facebook profile to put up the picture of his child. And the picture that he's just put up, which is one of my favorites that was taken, is him as a grandfather with three of his grandchildren, and he's reading them a book. And it just is one you could stare at for ages. You know, being able to take the truth of somebody who is loved and respected and being able to pass on in a reading something of meaning to them. And I think about that when it relates to God's provision and God wanting to teach us, and how that if we could picture him as a loving father, I realize some didn't have loving fathers, but for those who did, you can picture the loving father with a child in his lap, caring and loving and nurturing and teaching and concerned for and wanting to pass on what has been learned from the past. And if you recall, of course, in Bible days, there weren't written books to be able to pass this information on. It had to be told to the next generation, and then the next generation, the next. And each time that information was passed on, and that's how children learned. And when it comes to this, we have this story about the children of Israel having manna in the wilderness. And the first thing I want to pick out is we're talking about having words for something that we don't have words for. I mean, Never before had there been food provision in the wilderness, in a place where there wasn't normally food. They needed food. They didn't know how in the world they were going to live. And then God provided them with this food in the desert. And so they had to come up with a name for it. And they came up with the word manna, which just meant bread from heaven. You know, they knew that it had come from God, but they didn't know how to describe it. They didn't have some dictionary which told them what it was called. And so they just attached this word to it. You know the lesson very well if you've read this story from the Bible, how that they weren't allowed to gather too much ahead of time, except when it came to the Lord's Day or the Sabbath, that time when they were supposed to rest. Then they could have provision enough for an extra day. But otherwise, if they took too much, it would rot and stink. And I think the teaching, of course, very solidly was that they were given what they needed for the time that they needed it. One of my biggest contentions with God is that he's never early. You know, when you have a need and you pray, God, please will you provide it? He's never early. But he's never late, you know. That's the point where it's frustrating that he comes in the nick of time. He comes in right when we need him rather than a bit early so we could rest. We wouldn't have to worry so much about it because he wants us to trust him. He wants us to know that the provision will be there. Can you imagine from day to day how the children of Israel would wonder? Okay, we've had food today. Great. I'm full up. I've got plenty to eat. That's great. But I don't have anything for tomorrow. It's all right. Tomorrow morning, when you get up, it will be there. You know, so then the next morning, he gets up, and there it is again. Great. When do you think they would have become used to the fact that God would provide every day? I can't help but think that the children of Israel are probably a lot like me, in which case the answer would be never. Every day I'd be worried. Every day I'd wonder, but is he going to do that again? Let me just ask you, in your own life, have you ever had a time when you saw God come through and he provided when you needed it, and it was an amazing miracle of a blessing to have that provision, and you saw it and you knew God was just so great, but then you had it happen again and you wondered, will he do that again? You know, he's done it once. He doesn't owe me anything. Could he come through again? Will he provide again? Will he bless me? Will he get me out of the situation that I'm in again? And sadly, I want to say, each time we're confronted, we often will say, I'm not sure if he'll do that again, but he does. So then the second thing is, there's feeding without provision. You know, in the desert, there aren't a lot of resources. Pull from. I've heard stories that you can take certain cactuses, and I'm talking about American deserts now, of course, but you know, in Arizona and others, you can take certain cactuses and they hold water, you know, so there might be a bit of provision there, and some parts of it are edible. You might be able to eat a bit of it, you know, but to feed all the people of the children of Israel in the desert, that's just not going to happen. So where is the provision going to come from? Is there some method that scientists will eventually create that takes sand and makes it into food? That's not going to happen. It's rocks, you know. So can you dig down far enough? What are you going to dig with? For one, you know, they didn't come out with shovels. And so are you going to dig down far enough that you might be able to get water? Yeah, but you can't live on just water. You got to have food. So here God took away everything, provision-wise. Took away all of the elements and still provided. Now, there's two words This has been an insult to your intelligence to think of it. But there's the word create, and then there's the word made. Now, I'm going to define them differently, and I realize dictionary would have them similarly defined. But the word made means you take some element, some provision, and you redesign it into something useful. For me, that might be taking a screwdriver and making a hammer out of it, you know, which is something I'll do. You know, taking and it wasn't intended for that purpose, but I might be able to take it and I can make it into something. Or you could say clay. I can take clay and I can form something out of it. I can make something from an element that exists. But creation, see, God creates. Man makes. God creates. God takes from nothing and makes something from it. Now, take that and apply that to your life. Some of you think, you know, if I were more talented, if I were more clever, if I were more intelligent, if I had more resources, if I had more, and we can fill in that blank 100 times over, if I had all of this, then I could see where God could use me because he could make me into something. But see, God isn't a God who makes stuff. He's a God who creates stuff. He makes stuff from nothing. So the children of Israel, the illustration we have, the picture is so beautiful. The children of Israel are out there where there is absolutely no person, group, resource of any kind to be dependent on. They had to be completely dependent upon God. But that was enough. You see, God is always enough. And God can provide where it is impossible to have provision. We sang the song, beautiful song, and it comes from Psalm 121. God is speaking. Listen to me. You know, Jim, in a Tuesday evening Bible study, quoted Psalm 121. He was talking about that passage, I will lift up my eyes to the hills. And I heard it, and I was thinking, ooh, I'm preparing for Sunday. That's going to come up. Then this morning, here we are, we sing these words, and I'm thinking, this is really weird, you know, because God sang it. But listen to the words as they're written from the psalm. I will lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. I got chills also this week when I was watching a little clip of a bunch of Israelis who were singing that song as they were looking at being persecuted and being in a war. And they said, I will lift up my eyes to the hills. Because there is this sense in many of our lives of impossibility. So what can we do? We lift up our eyes. From whence comes our help? The third thing is, man is by nature bitter and doesn't know what's best for himself. When it comes to food in the wilderness, you know, if we were to try and resource ourselves, give ourselves the nutrition, we're probably stupid enough to try and eat sand, you know, because if there wasn't anything else, we'll take what we think, well, there's nothing else, so I'm going to take sand. You get people who are stranded in the ocean, who are afloat, and they're thirsty, and they decide, well, I know salt water's not good for me, but I'm going to drink it. And they do, and it just makes things so much worse. Man is left to his own bitterness. I read a poem called In the Desert. In the Desert. And it was based upon an analogy or a metaphor. He says, in the desert, I saw a creature naked and bestial who was squatting upon the ground. He held his heart in his hands and he ate of it. I said, is it good, friend? It is bitter, bitter, he answered. But I like it because it's bitter and because it's my heart. You know, man man's sense, if left to himself, would destroy himself. Man has no inner sense of being able to get the provision from God. We have to follow the Father's instructions to lift up our eyes and believe in impossible things and see provision come from where provision doesn't exist within our own realm and our own thoughts, but God can provide it. God has an ability to be able to provide in the wilderness a table. He can provide for us food in the desert. Give us what we need where nothing exists. As we take that forward, I would love to think that you might, within your own day or week, think about the things that you face or have in front of you which seem impossible, where there is no provision for what you need, where you've been told there's no hope for something that you confront, and hang on to the fact that God can make and does make something from nothing. God can take and create what otherwise doesn't exist. Man can't. Man left to himself would destroy himself. But God can create what isn't even there within you. Let's pray. Father, give us the ability through the eyes of our spirit to see the impossible. Help us to be able to latch on to, with faith, the substance of things hoped for, seeing faith as the evidence of things not seen, knowing that you provide where no provision exists. As we think about the passage we've read, you gave food to the children of Israel when there was no food. You provided it from heaven, and not even giving them a name for it, you simply gave them what they needed to be able to exist. Fast forwarding to the day and age in which we live, Father, each of us face things on a daily, weekly, monthly, yearly basis that we can't see a solution for. We can't see how it's possible, but you can make it possible because you can create from nothing what's needed. Increase our faith and provide for us like a table in the wilderness. In Jesus' name.